This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on FM 92.9, AM 680, WPTF, and WPTF.com. Email us at agingmatters@transitionslifecare.org. Aging Matters, joined by Carson Sellers from Transitions Life Care. Here's your host, Mike Slayman.
What are some creative approaches for navigating change? That's our focus this week on Aging Matters. Welcome. I'm Mike Slayman, and joining me in the studio, Carson Sellers from Transitions Life Care, Annalise Gentile with Conduit for Change, and Greg Witt with Drum for Change. Carson?
Annalise, we're going to start with you today, if that's all right. If you don't mind, just start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the work that you do.
Fantastic. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Carson, for inviting us here today. My goodness, the journey started a long time ago with my own life. To become an integrative life and leadership coach actually started back when I was doing hair and makeup. I used to work on Broadway, and I made it to the top early on life. I was a hair, wig, and makeup artist. Loved my work, really good at it. I became even the primary private hair and makeup artist for 3 North Carolina governors consecutively, wow, including Bev Perdue for 8 years.
That's amazing.
And I had 2 big markers in my life that probably nudged me in this direction. The first one was hitting burnout at the age of 27. So I quit Broadway and took up blacksmithing because that makes sense. And what I learned on that journey was that the creative process helped me unpack a lot of the emotional weight that came onto me from being burnt out, working in an industry that was highly intense, took a lot of stress to work, really didn't work in relationship to my body clock. I didn't find out that I was really a morning person and didn't like staying up late until I quit. So that was one of the factors. And then actually was in the governor's mansion.
Oh, wow.
I was in the middle of teasing Bev Perdue's hair, and she says, Annalise, I just heard of this career. It's called coaching, and it's what you do with me. You help me see things so differently, help me solve problems, and you help me de-stress. She's like, you already do that. You need to go do that. And at the time, I was had really just started an adult college career. At the age of 31 is when I started college.
Oh, wow.
And she was a huge advocate for education. And she really encouraged me to follow on this path. And at that moment, she didn't know it, and I didn't mention it to her, but my whole body rippled. My whole body rippled in this kind of effervescent way that said, yes. And I didn't know what that meant. Like, what does that mean, coach? What does this mean to take on this new career path? But because I had already quit Broadway a while ago, and I was on this path of trying to understand where is the intersection between the creative process and personal and professional transformation, I knew I was on to something, but I wasn't quite sure at the time. There was no one schooling system.
Right.
I had looked into art therapy. I'd looked into therapy, but it didn't quite work. I felt like organizational development was too strict. Therapy was too clinical. And eventually, I landed on a master's degree in health and wellness coaching from the Maryland University of Integrative Health. And that's where I created this container. And this container called coaching, integrative health and wellness coaching, that I can pour in all of my other gifts, being an artist, being a teacher, being a guide, being a coach, being a catalyst. And that's where Conduit for Change was born.
That is amazing. It's really so interesting to hear how your journey has kind of shaped this all-encompassing kind of program and coaching that you've been able to come to do. It's just Broadway, ministry, art, how all of that can kind of come together and create a really well-rounded way to look at things. Can you tell us a little bit more just about Conduit for Change and the services that you offer?
Absolutely. In a nutshell, help, help, I'm in a nutshell. Conduit for Change is about bringing creative approaches to people, individuals, communities, congregations, working with leaders, solopreneurs on a life journey who may not have quite recognized that they're MIA, missing in action. They're really good at caretaking. They're really good at leading others. They're really good at doing their work. But like me, eventually, that caretaking to such an extent where you don't pour back to yourself has a consequence.
Absolutely.
And that missing in action piece is where I come in and help you see what you can't see about yourself and help you make the personal and professional transitions that have come. The time has come. And I help people through that arc of change. And sometimes that arc is vertical, like a hump, a mountain to cross over. And sometimes that hump is a gap. It's a hole, and you don't quite know how to bridge that.
Right.
And I'm really good at helping you through and navigating through these difficult times.
That's amazing. That's
as great. Well as the creative times, you know, because if you apply the creative process, you can navigate uncertainty with eyes wide open. And that's where I help people actually access an inner creator, the inner artist inside of you. And you don't have to be a labeled practitioner of an artist to actually access that. You know, being an artist actually means being agile, seeing possibilities where there might not be possibilities, and utilizing these little nuggets, these little pieces of mystery to help you form a whole new path forward.
Absolutely. That is actually a great bridge into what we're kind of going to be talking about today. So with creativity and resilience, especially in the context of aging and caregiving, why do you think creativity is such an important part of how we care for ourselves and for others?
Aging is a creative act.
Absolutely.
There's a word called entropy, and I'm not a physicist, but the word entropy in a nutshell, as far as I can best explain it to you, is the amount of energy that it takes to keep a thing in a place as it is extraordinary. Entropy means that nature is always working towards destruction. It's always working towards dismantling. And aging is a part of the life process. So whether I'm working with a client who is going through an aging process, they're older than me. I'm actually 50 at this stage, and my clients tend to be between 55 and actually till end of life. So from midlife to end of life is when I work with clients. And helping them see that where they are in the arc of life is normal. And we can't go back. So what do we do with what's here now? Now, when that person who's going through an aging process themselves, who's also caring for aging parents, which is quite common with my clients because of their age group, they're caring for aging parents. Or in our case with my husband and I, where we work in senior communities also to bring creative approaches to senior communities to help their aging population. The creative process helps you access resources for navigating stress, overwhelm, and grief by helping you express what you don't normally have a place to express in regular life. Let me put it to you in another way. We're receiving information all the time. Information, and it is forming our insides. But if you don't have a way to take what's inside and express it, then that forms you inside, and that starts building up. Stress, overwhelm, grief can change you from the inside. So the opposite of that is exformation. Exformation is taking what's inside, and it's creating a new language. And that could be expressed somatically with the body, or with voice, or with creative processes like making music, drawing, poetry, and it's transformative. It's taking that energy inside of you, and you are managing it in an expressive way versus that energy managing you and right. You not knowing about it.
That's a beautiful way to put it. I've never heard it put that way, actually. So,
I'm very creative.
Thank you, Annalise. Annalise Gentile, an author, executive coach, speaker, and artist. And also in the studio, Greg Witt with Drum for Change. Up next, we're going to talk about dealing with grief. This is Aging Matters, a service of Transitions Life Care on WPTF, FM 92.9, AM 680, and WPTF.com. News, talk, traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on FM 92.9, AM 680, WPTF, and WPTF.com. 60 minutes devoted to giving you all the information you need when caring for a loved one. Aging Matters, joined by Carson Sellers from Transitions Life Care. Here's your host, Mike Slayman.
On Aging Matters today, we're looking at ways of accepting change and looking at it in a different way, and even in the way we deal with grief.
If you don't mind just sharing a little bit about, I'm sure, doing the work that both of you do, you get to see kind of grief unfold in a plethora of ways. What do you see, or what can happen in the brain, in our heart, in our soul when we allow ourselves to be creative in times of uncertainty or grief?
It's a great question, Carson.
Thank you.
The brain, the heart, and the soul. I see things as one. We are energy, we're frequency. Everything is one in my world. And my personal grief story is after my parents divorced after 37 years of marriage, which was a huge shock to myself.
Wow.
I became primary caretaker for my father. He had a lot of healthcare problems and had a massive heart attack, and he had diabetes. And at a young age, I was 30 at the time.
Oh, wow.
Became primary caretaker. And my sister was in another city and doing other things in her life, so it was a lot. And that's actually when I started college at Wake Tech. So I was taking care of my dad, and then at the same time, my mother needed hip replacement surgery.
Oh, wow.
So my parents were now in two different homes, and I cared for my dad, then I cared for my mom. I come from three generations of cosmetologists. My mother is a hairdresser as well, no longer anymore. But I worked 13 hours behind the chair so that she was making a living because she couldn't. It was a lot. So after 3 years, my father passed away. So we went through hospice. As a matter of fact, to bring my father's personal story to Transitions, we were in the hospital for 3 weeks with him. He had two toes amputated, and it was like the exact situation that he never wanted to happen.
Right.
And I'd been in the hospital enough with my dad over the years to know that there was always a lot of buzz. People were always coming and going, checking, pripping, procking, measuring, pumping.
Right.
And this experience was different. They weren't testing things anymore. And it was getting really quiet. And I remember my sisters saying, like, where are the nurses? I'm like, I don't know. And I finally talked to them. I said, so what's going on? And they said, well, we think this might be a time for hospice. And she said, do you want us to talk to your dad about this? Or do you want to tell him? So I told my sister. And she said, well, let's talk to Daddy. So we said, well, they think it's time for hospice. And he said, He sort of looked at us, almost like sat up with a little bit of pride. And he says, hospice. I didn't even know I had an option. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden, he had like this, he can make a decision. And he said, okay, like as if he didn't really have a choice, but he had some emotional play in it. So his heart was invited into the process. His mind was invited into the process. And his body, I remember trying to comb his hair, and he said, no, I want to do it. And it was very slow. And he also was a hairdresser at some point. So he made his little ducktail and he pushed his front wave in, so he had a little bit of a wave in the front. it was his time to have some autonomy until he couldn't, and that was on a Friday. He was sent to my sister's in Greenville. They set up a bed in the living room, and he died on Sunday.
Wow.
It was amazing how fast the ending was. But my personal experience is in that moment when he took his last breath, I was holding his hand, his left hand, and we were singing to him. My family was singing to him in his very last moments. And when the last note came out of all of us, I watched his chest drop and the breath come out of him, and this enormous burst of energy went through his hand, into my hand, through my body, and through the top of my head. I'm telling you, I felt like the top of my head was on fire. Wow. But it felt amazing. And then he was gone. Shoo! Just like that. Gone. Shoo! From that moment, I thought, for those who don't get a chance to be with their loved ones when they pass, I felt like I'd experienced a gift. And people in my life, even when I was young, came to me for some type of death and dying process. I can't explain it. I've had lots of pets die. People have come to me to go through the difficult things in life. And when I personally went through that, it emphasized the gift and the ability that I have to be with people during that difficult time. So the creative process today shows itself in that I'm helping people connect to the fullness of life, who they are, and who they are yet to be. Because death, dying, grief are not common conversations that people can are willing to have. So the creative process, whether that's movement, music, dance, play, laughter, allows the brain, there's a whole brain science to this, to be comfortable with the uncomfortable without actually having to talk about it.
Absolutely. That is a wonderful story. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm so sorry for your loss, but it sounds like you were able to gain something from that. Just in your experience with that, how did that experience shift your life's trajectory and your life's work and just the way that you view that transition?
Well, I'll start it by piggybacking on what you just said. A friend of mine who came to my dad's memorial said, welcome to the club. And I said, what club? And she says, the club that nobody wants to become a member of, but we all are. And so, yes, grief has become a gift. And I no longer say, I'm sorry for your loss. I say, grief connects us all. I understand.
That's a beautiful way to look at it.
I feel like apologizing for loss is like saying, I'm sorry that you can't live. Because grief and loss is living. And that's where this creative process, creativity is about something that is emerging, coming to the fullness of life, and ending. And what I do is help people be okay with endings, because endings help us to the next step, which is to create the next step, unless you're passing. And if you're passing, you get to be a part of that too. Unless, even if you have Alzheimer's, like I've worked with clients directly with their parents who are going through Alzheimer's. That person who's losing their memory can't be involved the way you and I can be involved.
Right.
But they can contribute. So there's something in theater. My history, of course, is in theater. So yes and. Yes and is like, oh, well, mom wants to wear this dress or mom wants to eat this thing. So when you yes and someone where they are, no matter what type of capacity, intellectual capacity they have, they become a part of the play, the performance of life.
Absolutely. Just before we pivot into our next section, before we go to to commercial, for those, for people who feel lost in their caregiving role or in the process of aging itself, what would you say is a small first step towards reconnecting with their sense of self or their sense of purpose? So for people who have felt lost in their caregiving role or in their process of aging itself, what's a small first step towards reconnecting with their sense of self or their sense of purpose?
The invitation to be present is where it starts.
That's
a lot of people don't understand what that is. It means being okay with what is.
Absolutely.
And experiencing the fullness of what is. Often where the snag is that when someone experiences the fullness, it is way overwhelming and they don't know what to do with it. Again, if we have a lot of information inside of us without any way of translating that into something to exform it, then it's just translated as overwhelm, anxiety. So I invite people to connect to being present through the breath, through noticing patterns. Like, let's just say here in the studio, there's a lot of different shapes here. There's a lot of different colors. So I might invite someone to say, hey, let's just take a breath, take a deep breath, and notice a color. Notice any color. Now for me, I'm looking at Carson's shirt. It's this beautiful green, and I'm exhaling. And then I'll take another deep inhale. Now I see Mike. I see Mike's white shirt. So I'm just noticing the brightness, noticing the difference between the brightness of his shirt and the dark blue wall behind him, and I exhale. Then I take another deep breath, and I see the bright red light on his mixer. I just notice that. He can't see it because it's behind his paper, but I can. And then exhale. So that's one little technique.
Absolutely.
To be in the moment for that experience. But for someone to have a long journey with understanding themselves, other practices, journaling, walking, finding what the ing thing is. It could be biking, swimming, something to emote, something to dance with life as it is. And that is a unique experience per individual.
Absolutely.
Not everything works with everybody. So I invite people to figure out what could that creative love language be.
That is great advice.
When we let change overwhelm us, we suffer burnout. We'll talk about that coming up. This is Aging Matters on WPTF, FM 92.9, AM 680, and WPTF.com.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on FM 92.9, AM 680, WPTF, and WPTF.com. Email us at agingmatters@transitionslifecare.org. Aging Matters, joined by Carson Sellers from Transitions Life Care. Here's your host, Mike Slayman.
Carson, you deal firsthand with caregivers trying to do their best, but it's an exhaustive process that sometimes leads to burnout.
Absolutely, and burnout is definitely a big topic on Aging Matters. It comes up a lot because it is very common with caregivers. So, you help leaders and caregivers prevent burnout. How do you define compassion fatigue, and how is it different from burnout?
Compassion fatigue is where someone is caring for either someone or someone's, or even a system. Someone who cares deeply about a system. Could be democracy. Compassion fatigue. You want to keep this thing alive. That you will give and give and give and give and give. Either because you want to, because you're passionate about it, or you need to. Caring for children with disabilities, caring for aging parents, being a healthcare worker. Compassion fatigue is something that comes along with a caretaking job. And to help someone reduce burnout is to help them recognize who they are in relationship to the things that they're caring for. Essentially, anyone who gives without respite will burn out. So I think that when you're a caregiver for a person or aging parents, or healthcare worker in a system that is relentlessly draining and drawing on your energy, it's kind of impossible to not experience some amount of burnout or compassion fatigue. It really comes with the journey. And my job as a coach is to help, and I'm going to cross over with some of the other stuff that I do, is to help minister the heart and the humanity of that person or of that system. So for instance, when I'm working with individuals, and oftentimes when I'm working with leaders, they have entered my coaching business for a leadership need, because there's something in the way that they're leading that there's a snag. They're not communicating well. They're not managing well. There's something that isn't working in the work world. But then we come to have a conversation about what's going on behind the scenes. They are caring for aging parents. They're caring for children. They're experiencing empty nests. So they might have a grief situation that's going on. And my work is to help them see the larger macro picture and not take what they're experiencing personally.
Right.
Like, your grief does not define you. Your loss does not define you. Your job does not define you. That these processes of giving, taking are costing you. And it's okay to feel exhausted, but now we got to do something about it.
Absolutely.
So taking responsibility, so the first is to recognize, you have to become aware of what the situation is. And then with that awareness, then you develop a sense of presence. And with the presence, then you develop a sense of practice. And with the practice, then you develop a sense of technique, which then helps you adjust. And sometimes you have to say yes to something. Sometimes you have to say no.
Absolutely. That goes greatly into my next question. What would you say to someone who feels guilty for stepping away from caregiving, even if it's just for a moment, even though it's needed? What would you say to kind of let them know that that's okay?
Delegation. You've got to know when to fire yourself.
Absolutely.
You've got to know when it's time to step back, step down, stand down. You can't do everything. I know everyone has heard this over and over again. When you're on the airplane and the masks come down, you have to put the mask on yourself before you put it on other people. It's so important. You cannot actually care for others if you don't take a break. And what I have seen in my clients is a shift. When they start to recognize that they have to delegate, they have to self-care, they have to change their relationship to their energy differently, and that when they do, the energy that they relate to changes. When you change your relationship to energy, the energy that you relate to changes.
Absolutely.
And that completely changes the way you relate to your creativity, which then you express differently. You say things that you need to say, you do things you need to do, and you take care of business differently. Absolutely. And that's a game changer.
Absolutely. I love that idea of you kind of being your own catalyst for change and
Absolutely.
Your energy changing. That's a really great way to look at it, great mindset to have. Just one more question before we move on to Greg, hand the mic over. How do you think caregivers can best acknowledge their own grief without feeling it detracting from the care they're providing?
It's a trick question because you will feel it and it will detract, and then you have to adjust.
Absolutely.
That's where the creative process is a gift, to say, hey, letting go is a part of it.
Absolutely.
I can get into a longer discussion around, I have a master's degree from the Maryland University of Integrative Health, and it was one of the first acupuncture schools in the United States. And my coaching practice comes from the Chinese medicine model of the five elements. And the five elements teach, the five elements of of wood, fire, earth, metal, and water teach you to relate to the seasons of life, and that every season has a flourishing and a nourishing and a release, and they all interplay together, and they match up directly with the five stages of the creative process, which allow for gathering and stepping back and having an aha and validating that this idea, everything matches. Those five elements match with the five stages of the creative process. So really what I'm teaching is I'm teaching the processes of life and to allow not knowing the answers, and allow the fullness of life to express itself and also to let go.
That is a really, really interesting way to look at it. I've never heard it put that way, so thank you. Let us shift our attention over to Greg. We have a segment for him at the end, but if you want to just start off by telling us a little bit about the work you do with Drum for Change and just about how you got into that, and then we'll dig a little deeper.
Sure. I believe that life is better when we communicate, cooperate, and collaborate with one another and with the world around us. And because I believe this, I facilitate programs to help people live, work, and play well together in ways that are joyful, engaging, and good for you. And I do that through a music metaphor. And that's how Drum for Change came about.
That's amazing.
All right. Well, that was sort of a tease. We're going to find out more about what that all means. And we are talking today with Greg Witt, Drum for Change, who you just heard from. We'll talk more about what his organization is about and more with Annalise from Conduit for Change. This is Aging Matters, a service of Transitions Life Care on WPTF.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on FM 92.9, AM 680, WPTF, and WPTF.com. 60 minutes devoted to giving you all the information you need when caring for a loved one. Aging Matters, joined by Carson Sellers from Transitions Life Care. Here's your host, Mike Slayman.
Thank you so much for spending time with us today on Aging Matters. Greg, tell us what Drum for Change is all about.
So at Drum for Change, I bring a van full of drums and percussion instruments to your corporation, your congregation, your community, your classroom, and you put people in a circle of chairs, and I teach everyone to play nicely together. So it's a jazz metaphor of how do we all fit in and contribute while also supporting the entire group.
That is amazing. So just digging a little bit deeper into this and into these workshops that you do, you've said that music is a metaphor for life in rhythm and harmony, which is beautiful, might I add. How do you see rhythm or shared music helping people move through their grief process?
Oh, okay. So there are 65 clinical studies and scholarly papers on the benefits of group drumming and wellness as a practice. So there's lots of information that substantiates what indigenous cultures have known all along, that when we come together as community and we contribute together and do something creative, we're all better for it.
Absolutely. Right?
And so at Drum for Change, we're creating those occasions for people that want to participate and connect in ways that don't necessarily involve languaging our feelings, but allow us to have a creative moment of self-expression in the presence and cooperation with others.
Absolutely. So in doing this, in your experience, how does this act of doing something together, drumming, help people feel seen or heard during their time of loss?
Great. So a masterful facilitator will create the connection points in a group that's working in this way. And so it's the basics of team building, right? You want to create opportunities for cooperation and collaboration that through a shared experience creates bonding that develops relationships that depend on trust and loyalty. Right. Too many times we'll see team building occasions that are competitive rather than cooperative. And so it's kind of the antithesis of helping people get along.
Absolutely.
Because you're creating a spirit of competition. So in a grief setting, for instance, I was doing a program a couple of years ago with a hospice agency where it was a grief camp. Specifically for kids who had lost a loved one. And we had a beautiful gathering on a farm where the kids were connected to nature. They were out in the fresh air and the sunshine, and we had a big circus tent where all the drums and chairs were, and people would come. And we had four or five sessions throughout the day where kids could explore expressing themselves in musical ways. There were other things happening, art activities and nature walks and pet the critters and learn about the plants and whatnot. And all that was going on. But a really interesting thing happened on the lunch break because all the hospice staff showed up in the tent and started hanging out to have their lunch break. And then they started playing the drums. And so all this beautiful connection came about in ways that they wouldn't normally experience during the daily grind.
Right.
Right? And so we need to find ways to emote all the things that we're struggling to carry, the things that society expects of us, right? Do the thing, hit the grind, keep it going, carry it all. And then we come home and we try to unpack some of that. But we're not doing less. We're turning on the TV and we're flipping on the internet and we're just taking in more and more and more rather than allowing those feelings and that information to process through us. So Annalise talked about that earlier, informing and exforming. We're very good at being informed these days, but not so good at doing anything with all of what we're collecting.
Absolutely.
So we have to carry a lot. And so that's where grieving through music is really helpful, right?
Absolutely.
We all know the power of the playlist.
Yes,
yeah,
indeed.
You put on those tunes that make you feel better in some way, only in this occasion you're making that music rather than just listening to that
Absolutely.
Music.
Absolutely. It's really, really interesting to hear just some of the ways you've seen this rhythm and interactive group work support people working in healthcare. What do you think facilities or organizations could be doing differently to build this culture that keeps people feeling connected, especially doing such emotionally intense work?
Yeah, I see a lot of challenge with organizations because it's all about the bottom line, right? And there's not enough depth of understanding or vision or ability for leaders to do other things that are going to create healthy, happy employees that allow for healthier, happier organizations. And so when you look at burnout, for instance, people get fried and they leave the job, and then you have the huge cost of turnover, right? Onboarding new employees, training, recruiting, hiring, all of these things are direct impacts to the profitability of whatever kind of company, of whatever kind of organization. But that aspect of health and well-being, of creating community within whatever group of people, is always useful, even if it's not directly related to the profitability of an organization.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So in your work that you do, one of your gifts is helping people open up and take part in this interactive group work. How do you approach creating a space where people feel safe to be vulnerable or expressive?
That's where the facilitation skill comes into play, right?
You
create a process that allows people to experience something new. You start with a level playing ground where most people have never done this kind of thing of music making as a group that's improvisational in nature, the thing that we're calling drum circles. And so you create a process where they learn a little bit, they develop some mastery, they have some fun with it, and then as they go through this continuum of control, they are empowered to self-regulate and self-facilitate. And that's a huge metaphor for all the things that we do.
Absolutely. That is wonderful. All right. So thank you both so much for coming on today. If we, our listeners, want to find more out about Drum for Change, Conduit for Change. Also, I know, Annalise, you have a book, Chaos to Calm, Leading Change from the Inside Out. Where can we kind of get these resources, get in touch with you guys and the work that you do?
Thanks again, Carson and Mike, for inviting us. Yes, you can find my book, From Chaos to Calm, Leading Change from the Inside Out, on my website, which is Conduit for Change, conduitforchange.com. You can find it on the website. You can also find it on Amazon. It's on Kindle, paper copy, and also audiobook. And if you're local to the area, since we're a local radio station, you can also find it at the Wake County and Durham County Public Libraries for free, the paper copy. And I would definitely say that to cap this all off, what your listeners, what I hope that you will take away is that to invite creative approaches to your personal and professional life is to A, invite us in. Invite us in to explore with you and to explore yourself, because if you don't understand how it relates to life, then it's really hard to understand how this can become an asset in your toolbox for resiliency. So that's the big takeaway. And Greg, how can we find you?
Thanks for that. Hey, you'll find me online at drumforchange.com. That's drumforchange.com. Or you'll find me out and about in the community working with kids in schools, working in personal development retreats, working in organizational development, working with at-risk youth, working in hospice organizations, all sorts of ways that we're bringing music and wellness happenings into our community. And you can find us, if you want a taste of it, go down to Pullen Park on a Wednesday night here in Raleigh and visit the Raleigh Drum Circle, and you can try it on too.
But we do this stuff together. That's the most beautiful part.
It's true.
That we do co-facilitate, and our favorite things to do together are retreats.
Playdates are the best.
Yeah, so bring us in together into your workspaces, your organizations, your schools, your retreats, and we will help you see what you can't see and play well together.
Amazing. Thank you both so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for inviting us.
Thank you, Annalise. Thank you, Greg. Listen, if you missed any portion of today's show or you want to share with a family member or a friend in need, go to WPTF.com, available on demand always, and also wherever you get your podcast. Well, that is Aging Matters for this week. For Carson Sellers, I'm Mike Slaman, and this has been Aging Matters, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, FM 92.9, AM 680, and WPTF.com. For more information, log on to transitionslifecare.org.